I'm going to go ahead and give you a little peek behind the mental curtain into the emotions, because maybe it would be helpful to let people know about where I came from. Maybe it'll help understand the quirks and weirdness of your host, so that you will understand my motives as to why I started this podcast and as to why I do the things I do and talk the way I talk and have the passions that I do. So every now and then I'm going to do these strange solo episodes so that you understand why I'm weird and why I'm thankful that people come on this show and talk to me about things. Of course, anybody who has had the, I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate to have seen things that I have written. My writing is completely different from the way I speak. I speak very informally. I had the joys of going through an English degree at UNLV, and I grew up doing a lot of reading. When I was about 8 years old, I guess it was probably because my mom grew up dyslexic and wanted me to learn to read, and I was and still am dyslexic. I do spend a lot of time trying to correct things that I write and type, and maybe that's why I'm so darn anal when people see me on Facebook correcting things, because I do this all the time and I get to see all of my typos before I type them, and sometimes I do not catch them, and it's fun when I have to watch when I try to use swipe on my phone and then I'm sending a Facebook post and didn't correct it in time, and then everybody gets to see the edit. It's fun. And when you spent all that time getting an English degree and you just look at your mistake and you're just yelling at yourself. But anyway, back to the past. When I was about 8, I tried to teach myself to read correctly using the Bible. And it was the King James Bible, not even a New King James Bible, the King James. When you're 8, trying to figure out what the hell a begat was. And then when I got older and got to discover what begatting was, well, I guess the process of begatting is fun. The whole having the child part, I guess, is might be fun depending on who you are. And anybody who knows me by now knows I don't necessarily enjoy the process of the male to female process of begatting, even though, newsflash, I did try doing some of that in the past. And good on you heterosexual people who enjoy heterosexualness. You just keep doing what you do because you do create the women that I do so enjoy looking at and dating. Thank you so much. You will always be needed, though we need more lesbians. Just so you know, you are useful heterosexual people. Thank you. But to get serious again. So growing up, dyslexic, and I'm about to feed into the story of coming up as a poor African American child. Grew up with my brother, who's 3 years older than me, with my mom, who is a champion. That woman worked about 3 jobs, one of them in Jean out here in Nevada, which meant she drove a really far distance for one of those jobs. She might as well have been a single mom for a really long time, because my stepdad, who was the man who raised me, was a raging drug addict and alcoholic, and he was very, very abusive. He did, at some points in time, spank me and my brother to the point where my brother and I still have some scars, and he did beat my mother pretty senseless a lot of times. So we grew up in that kind of atmosphere where, a lot of holidays, a lot of days are ruined by him coming home drunk as hell, beating her senseless, and having to hear her just, I mean, anybody who's been through those situations where, you feel like you've lost it and you have to hear your mom who's lost it, or people who've been in a situation where even maybe who've had a situation where their dad was the one who was abused. Because believe it or not, there are situations where a woman can abuse a man physically and mentally, because I mean, physical abuse has a mental effect on you. And it didn't help that growing up from about the age of 6 to 14, I dealt with sexual abuse. Some of that, unfortunately, within the family, thankfully not from my brother, who's a upstanding man. Love my brother. He's awesome. But, I mean, coming from that background, you can understand how life was just a crazy situation, growing up. And I looked up to my mom because going through all of the crap she did, she was the kind of person who knew she had to work hard to provide for her kids. And she wanted her kids to have a better life than she did. So, of course, one thing she said that to me and my brother was either the military or college when we got out of high school. My brother ended up in the military. He sure in the hell didn't like that. And I was in the point at the point where to me it was just eh. I was going around to recruitment offices going, okay, I guess I'll do it. At that point in time, I was flat-footed, still flat-footed, even though I run a lot now, and cross-eyed, got my eyes fixed when I was 28. Two surgeries to do that because the doctor overcorrected it. So I was cross-eyed the other way for a couple months. I'd have to share that story sometime. That was really interesting. So I went under the name Cross-Eyed Kim for a while. And at that point in time, it was a great defense mechanism is when you were teased in school, you kind of take on that name and then I guess take the power out of the insult. And I actually kind of missed the nickname Cross-Eyed Kim because it was really funny when people would say something to me and I wasn't listening and they'd say, "Did you hear me?" And I'd go, "No, I'm cross-eyed. I didn't hear you." And they would just think it was funny. And I kind of missed that nickname. And I also used to use it when I'd stare at all my friends' girlfriends and they'd be saying, "Are you checking out my girlfriend?" I'd say, "No, I'm not checking out your woman. I'm cross-eyed. How dare you tell me? I mean, do you know how hard it is to be visually impaired? Do you know what kind of suffering it is?" And yeah, I was totally checking out your woman. Whatever. She's hot. Stop it. Whatever. Anyway, so growing up, at some point, you know, I was ready to go in the military. I guess nobody wanted a flat-footed, cross-eyed, almost hunchback. Like, I had scoliosis and all that stuff. And I was a band nerd. I was good at playing instruments, played the alto sax. I was that nerd that was in marching band, jazz band, pep band, varsity band. Still love it. Band nerds, we are awesome. But I was also the band nerd who had judo as a seventh period class, and a lot of my friends that were in band were also in judo class with me, so we were kind of band nerds who played instruments, and then we'd go and kick ass in seventh period class. So don't mess around with band nerds, especially now that MMA is so prominent. You know, we'll kick your ass. Don't be fucking around with band nerds. It's not funny. But my high school counselor talked to me about trying for scholarships, and I actually got a scholarship, and there I was at UNLV, which hello, Murray Rothbard taught at UNLV. Of course, I didn't know that, and of course, by the time I was in college, he was already, or, you know, passed away, unfortunate for me. But, and also, I didn't know he existed at that time. I didn't become a libertarian until like 4 months ago. Anyway, so I was good at that point. I read a lot. I had been writing random fictional stories. So I got into college, and that was just the thing to do. And that's pretty much how my life started. And well, from there, my mom at some point decided that my stepdad was just not useful for her. And she had decided that, thankfully, before I started college. And the way she found that out was one day he started beating on her. And me and my brother just got sick of it. I think he was around 16 at the time. And my brother just grabbed the lock, wrapped it around his middle finger, and just went at him. Me and my brother just started beating the crap out of my stepdad. And My mom just kind of woke up and was like, I need to get rid of this guy. And now there's a lot that goes into being somebody who's abused. There's just a whole mental thing. There's a fear that goes into it. There's just a hopelessness that goes into it. It's not as simple as some, you're attacked and then you're just thinking, oh, somebody attacked me. I should probably leave this person. There's just a lot more that goes into it than that, especially when it's somebody that close to you, somebody that you're married to. And, but thankfully, my mom came to that decision. And even though, I was an aimless child, finished my English degree, and then decided, since I had this degree that I thought was pointless, I decided, hey, I don't know what to do with my life. I need to go get a degree. So I transitioned almost immediately into jazz guitar improvisation and realized how quickly academic music can ruin your joy for music. Took me all of a semester before I decided, you know what, I'm going to go for a useful degree and jumped into a film degree because that's useful. Then got a degree in that, and what I loved about my film degree, that was fun. My favorite instructor was actually a guy named Clarence Gilliard, who, if you've ever seen Die Hard, he was in that. You should look that guy up. He was also Trivette from Walker, Texas Ranger, the black sidekick. Cool guy. Love that guy. Fixed his computer once. Came all the way to my job. That was good. But all that to pretty much say that there's some background on the weirdo that is me. You'll probably be getting more of that so you understand where I'm coming from, that I'm a strange human being. Even though I speak really awkwardly, I write probably more eloquently in improper English the way I write. When I speak, I try to sound a little bit more like a human being because that's just the way most people speak. Or just like normal human beings, not like they are reading from a gigantic tome, though when I write, I'm more militant just because I would prefer that if somebody didn't speak English as their first language, they'd be able to understand what I'm saying, because usually when people are taught a language, they probably have been taught from some books, maybe, possibly, I have no idea. That's just usually how I've noticed it in a lot of classes, not even just English classes. They are taught some standard English somewhere. That's how it is, but just wanted to get a little personal with you and let you know that I came from some of the poorer part of towns in Las Vegas, 28th Street, D Street. Anybody who lives in Las Vegas or has lived in Las Vegas knows about those ghetto parts of town. I did a short film with my film degree called Up in the Hood. I was joking with one of my friends who used to come pick me up for church. And she would come there as the whitest human being on the planet. And all these people would be staring at her, wondering why she was there. And I love that girl. She's awesome. And just would just come there at 16 years old, seeing all these people just staring at her, a lot of them drug dealers. And I lived in the kind of neighborhood where I'd go out to school and there'd be a freshly dead body on the stairs, no joke. Just no, I had seen it yet, and I'm just like, oh, just gonna step around this dead body. And then there was a point in time once where a drug dealer literally was my bodyguard during college. Basically, I come home at about 1 a.m. and he was basically till since my second stepdad, who is still around in my mom's life. That guy's a heck of a lot better than my first stepdad. He takes good care of my mom. She's happy now. She's working a better job, not having to work free. She's happy. My brother has two children. My nephews are the cutest nephews in existence. So much cuter than any of your nephews. Thank you. And so when we were at that time, I was living with them because I was a straight poor college student, paying that huge ass loan you get to get your public piece of paper for going to a public school. And I come home late, and my stepdad said, hey, if you look out for my stepdaughter, I won't tell them that you are dealing drugs in this ghetto ass neighborhood in Naked City behind a 7-Eleven in Las Vegas. And so I'd come home and There's a guy totally packing heat, and he would open the gate for me and say, "Have a good night." And it was the safest way I had ever felt because this guy was just so concerned about his drug cartel that he would just, I mean, I swear if somebody walked by and said hi to me, this guy would probably just blow a hole into them. It was just a weird way to grow up, but hey, yeah. Thankfully, nothing happened. Nobody said hi and got blown away. But all that to say, I was a person who wasn't very fiscally responsible, wasn't good with money. You can ask any friend. I hate driving, hated it. My friends wouldn't buy me like cheeseburgers because I was just always broke all the time. So, come a long way, learning economics, learning to be responsible, learning a lot of stuff. And hopefully, you guys who are new to libertarianism or aren't libertarians yet and probably thinking that this podcast is a bunch of stuffy people reading stuff, thinking they know any and everything, that is not what this podcast is about because everybody comes from different backgrounds. Maybe you've come from worse than I did, similar than what I maybe better situation, but I just want people to know that people we have on this show, we all come from different backgrounds. We're all looking for the same goals, the liberty and freedom for any and everybody, for all of America, and anybody who happens to listen from other countries is just instill the same ideas that we all want to fight for the liberty and freedom of every human being. And I think there's no better system I've seen while studying and looking around than capitalism, free markets, is just getting the government out of our lives and just really being aware of surroundings. And everybody doesn't have to read every single big, huge tome from Rothbard and Mises, even though I would encourage reading it. It's awesome. However, just being aware of the things around you, just being enlightened, staying focused, and knowing that there is hope out there, that we're not trying to tell you everything is doom and gloom, and that everybody will always just be poor and at the bottom, and that there's no hope. That's not the truth. It's this podcast is here to talk about where we're at, and knowing that we're not going to always be here, that there is a way. We're here to have fun. We're here to talk about things. We're here to talk about solutions, and we're here to laugh. We're just here to be together. So I won't bore you any longer. This is just meant to be something personal every now and then. And I probably rambled a lot, so I'm going to stop rambling. And next podcast will be with other people, so you won't have to listen to me. So thank you guys. I will talk to you soon.